Members will call the meeting to order. We do not have a quorum, so once we do have a quorum, I will politely yet abruptly interrupt the speakers here this morning, just to be able to call us officially to order and to approve the minutes. If you'd like to move up front and get ready to testify here, Commissioner. Members, I also received a phone call from Commissioner Fredrickson. He wishes he could be here. He did have a scheduling conflict, had a very nice conversation with him this morning. And so I just want to acknowledge that Commissioner Fredrickson did wish to be here. And he asked if he could be excused. So heck no, get back here.
Can we take a vote on that?
Yeah. Roll call vote there, Representative Anderson. So, like I said, I just want to pass that along as well. Members, it's informational only here. I think what we'll do is we'll go ahead and move into department provide the information here. I did compile a list of questions that I received from various people, interest groups, et cetera, and I passed those along to the commissioner. And we were able to put a presentation together in order to address many of those questions, and I know there's some others as well. I think what we'll do, if there's anybody that has additional questions, I think what we'll do is if you have questions, go ahead and pass them forward to Arlen, and you can bring them up here, and I can ask them on your behalf. If there's somebody that would just really like to make comments at the end of this, also feed that information into us. We're going to be very flexible here this morning. I think you're okay with that as well. And like I said, we just want to get the word out, help educate us on what's going on here, and that's the reason behind the meeting here today. So with that, if you'd state your name, who you represent for the record, and begin, please.
Sure. My name is Matthew Wollman, Assistant Commissioner of the Minnesota Department of Ag, and Mr. Chairman, members of the committee, it's great to be here this morning with you. Thank you for the invitation to come and talk about the Minnesota Ag Water Quality Certification Program.
Welcome.
We believe that this program holds a tremendous amount of promise to make some real progress on accelerating voluntary adoption of best management practices on Minnesota farms and to clean up water quality in Minnesota. And so we're very honored to have the opportunity to come and talk with you today. Why is this important? I think if you look at the various different media outlets all across the state, we have seen news story after news story featuring water quality in Minnesota and elsewhere around the country. And agriculture is featured in many of those news stories and not necessarily in the most positive light. I think if we look at where folks are at, public perceptions and expectations on water quality are changing. The Minnesota public and private sector leaders are willing to take a new approach on water quality and look at how can we work collaboratively in a proactive way to develop some solutions. And farmers will have an opportunity to be proactive and have a seat at the table and help to shape a new solution for a better future. What is the Minnesota Ag Water Quality Certification Program? It's a voluntary program. I want to make that very clear. This is a voluntary program. It's not a regulatory approach. Designed to accelerate on-farm adoption of conservation practices. It's going to be administered through the Minnesota Department of Agriculture, but we also have several supporting agencies that have a role in this endeavor, including the Minnesota Pollution Control Agency, the Board of Soil and Water Resources, and the DNR.
I'm sorry. We do have a quorum. I'd like to officially call the meeting to order. Representative Vogel approves the minutes dated March 15th. Is there any discussion? Hearing none, all those in favor say aye.
Aye.
Opposed? Motion prevails. Thank you for your understanding, and please
So let me just back up a little bit. We do have several supporting partner agencies in this effort. On the state side, the Minnesota Pollution Control Agency, the Board of Soil and Water Resources, and the Department of Natural Resources are working collaboratively together to develop a program that works for farmers and works to enhance water quality here in the state. On the federal side, we also have partners, including USDA's Natural Resource Conservation Service and the U.S. Environmental Protection Agency. One of as I said before, this program will accelerate voluntary adoption of on-farm practices. It will provide assurance to farmers and to the public that they will not be required to do additional water quality practices for a period of certification. This gets at the moving goalpost issue that we often hear about from farmers all across the state. And it will provide additional federal and state resources for farmers to implement additional conservation practices on their lands. So the state agency roles moving forward, the Department of Agriculture administers the program. Board of Soil and Water Resources would be providing technical assistance and funding as they normally do in their charge. Pollution Control Agency and other agencies will be providing some certainty, whatever certainty that they can provide. And then the DNR is here in a supporting role as well. On the federal side, USDA NRCS is a primary vehicle for the conservation delivery funding mechanism here in the state. They will work in that capacity as well as providing technical assistance to producers to help them develop conservation plans if that's the route we end up moving down. The EPA was here in a supporting role. They came to Minnesota to affirm that it's primarily the state's responsibility to develop water quality standards and goals. And they support the concept of certainty or assurance. They will not have a role moving forward in this program. So I want to just take a few minutes and show you a video here of the MOU signing with Governor Dayton, Secretary Vilsack, and Administrator Jackson.
Very excited to be a participant today in the signing of the Memorandum of Understanding to establish the Minnesota Agricultural Water Quality Certification Program. I want to welcome the Secretary of Agriculture, Tom Vilsack, and EPA Administrator Lisa Jackson, NRCS Chief White, Commissioners Essen, Fredrickson, and Landwehr. This is an historic partnership between the federal and state government. We are delighted and honored to be the first state selected for this partnership. I want to thank President Obama, Secretary Vilsack, and Administrator Jackson for their outstanding leadership in advancing this important initiative. Here in Minnesota, we understand the vital importance of agriculture to our state. We also greatly value clean rivers, streams, and lakes. We do not want to be forced to choose between the two. This partnership offers great promise that the federal and state governments can work in cooperation with key agricultural and environmental stakeholders and others to develop a voluntary yet significant commitment by farmers to improve their practices for the sake of their children's and grandchildren's water. It emphasizes voluntary cooperation rather than rigid requirements. It recognizes that almost all farmers are excellent stewards of their priceless land, and that by working together, we can all help make even further improvements to that stewardship. Again, thank Secretary Vilsack and Administrator Jackson for their leadership and for choosing Minnesota as the first recipient of this opportunity. And that, let me turn it over to Secretary Vilsack.
Thanks, Kevin. Yeah, thank you very much.
I usually don't get applauded you.
Well, Governor, first of all, let me thank you and your team for the opportunity to be here this this afternoon, and let me just comment on the extraordinary beauty of this room. I gave many press conferences as governor of Iowa. I can tell you that I've never given a press conference in quite an ornate place like this. It's beautiful. Governor, there's a reason why Minnesota is the first state for this effort. It's because Minnesota has a history of producers who care deeply about the land and water, and Minnesota has a tradition and a value system that understands and appreciates the importance of good soil and clean water. I think your state also understands and appreciates the economic opportunity that's connected both to agriculture and outdoor recreation. And so we are happy to be working with the state of Minnesota as you begin to craft a water certification program. And we appreciate the fact that in the crafting of this program, you will have producers at the table working with others to help craft a certification program. Producers will have an input and will help lead this effort. We also appreciate the fact that you are willing to allow the NRCS to be a partner. We stand ready at USDA as Minnesota embarks on this effort to provide technical assistance in the formulation of the certification plan, as well as technical assistance on the ground with producers individually as they put their plans together. We also want to be there with additional resources, financial resources. Despite the fact that we're faced with a difficult budget within the USDA, we believe the commitment of resources in helping Minnesota producers implement their plans is money well spent and invested. We know that this creates an enormous opportunity to incent and to encourage more conservation. We know that it will provide for cleaner water. We know that it will lead to greater outdoor recreational opportunities. We know that it will provide resources for local contracting firms, as well as those who are involved in outdoor activities, which should stimulate even further an economy that already has, relative to the nation as a whole, a low unemployment rate. There's nothing but good news here. We also know from recent evaluations from the Upper Mississippi River Basin Project, of which Minnesota is already a partner, we have basically tried to quantify and verify that conservation works. And what we know from our study of this particular area is roughly 95% of producers are already participating in one form or another in voluntary conservation. This is a remarkable statement about the willingness of our farmers and producers to step up. We also know from this evaluation that it's making a difference. We've quantified there's less soil erosion. We've quantified there's less nitrogen and less phosphorus going into our rivers and our streams. But we also know from this evaluation that if we can combine conservation techniques and technologies, that we can have an even greater impact and effect. And so we look forward to working in partnership, and we know that providing producers some degree of assurance that once they have completed their plans, that the state will not come in at a later date to suggest that it's not enough or additional investments have to be made, provides that degree of assurance and certainty that will justify additional investments. And we also think this sets a foundation potentially for the establishment of markets where these results, these conservation results, might be of benefit to some industries in Minnesota, which could create another additional income opportunity for producers. Now, we have another partner in this process, and let me take this opportunity to introduce my colleague, Lisa Jackson. Lisa Jackson is the administrator of EPA. I want to assure the producers who are in the audience today that she has been extraordinary to work with in terms of her willingness to listen to the concerns of agriculture, not just through staff, not just through contacts with me personally, but she has traveled to the farm. She's been all over this country. She has been to different types of agricultural production systems. She has seen with her own eyes the stewardship of American agriculture. And as a result, she is working hard to work in partnership with USDA. And we are pleased that she has made an opportunity to be with us today. And with that, let me turn it over to Lisa Jackson.
Thank
Thank you, Tom. Always good to be with my colleague from USDA, who has taught me a lot, but also whose collaboration and partnership I value. Governor, thank you for having us, for hosting us today, and for your leadership, and to your wonderful cabinet, as well as to the leaders of the NRCS in this fine state. I'm proud to be here. Listen, I just wanted to be here today to have a moment to say we support your leadership here in the state of Minnesota. And we support from EPA what the farming community here is doing. We commend you for finding ways to protect the health and the environment and sustain the agricultural community. And EPA knows that the efforts of states are actually the most important thing that can happen when it comes to water quality. Water quality is a big issue when you're the head of the EPA, like I am, but it gets solved at the local level, at the community level, when communities come together and recognize the common goal of bringing local expertise and practice to the table. Secretary Vilsack and I recognize the role that farmers play not only in feeding our country, but also in conserving our natural resources. And we are glad to support efforts to protect the environment while ensuring that farmers and their communities continue to be healthy and productive. Governor Dayton and the farming community are showing excellent leadership here in developing a program that accomplishes both goals. It's very clear that this is a collaborative process, and that's important. Water quality isn't only about lakes and rivers that run through the state or any state. Clean water, along with healthy air and unpolluted lands, are the raw materials of the agricultural economy and are essential to its success. The quality of the environment affects our farms, our communities, our health, and our economy. Partnering to protect water quality strengthens communities, creates opportunities for jobs and conservation, and puts us on the road to long-term results. We know that farmers have made great strides already in conserving and protecting water resources, and we believe that the development of this voluntary program by the state of Minnesota recognizes their important work and encourages them to continue the progress they're making. I again want to applaud the leadership of the governor, the leadership of your staff, sir. But I want to thank the agricultural community for the benefits that you will bring here and for the lesson, the leadership lesson that you bring to our country. EPA is happy to lend support, but we probably are happiest to do one other thing, which is stand back and let this happen with the farmers and the leaders in the community and at the state level. Thank you so much.
So, Commissioner, I'm sorry. Was there more to the video?
No, they basically just did the signing from there. And
okay. Well, Commissioner, you know, you and I had the talk, had a talk about there were members that I felt that were not invited or wasn't on the invite list to that, and I thought it would have been helpful early on for members of the Ag Committee, whether it's the chair, the vice chair, the lead, and other members to have been contacted on that as well. But you and I, we discussed that. We had conversations around that.
And I apologize for that. And, you know, things were moving very quickly at the as we were developing the MOU, and actually up to the Friday right before, there were still negotiations on the language, and so there were a lot of moving parts, and I apologize for that, and we'll continue to keep the committee abreast of new developments as we move forward.
Thank you. Appreciate that.
So I think, Mr. Chairman, if I could, just want to highlight one statement that the EPA administrator said, and that is that EPA is happy to lend support, but we are happiest to do one other thing, which is to stand back and let this happen with farmers and leaders in the community and at the state level. I think that's a tremendous statement from an EPA administrator. So what is certainty? For farmers, certainty is the assurance that by participating, they are fulfilling state and federal expectations regarding water quality, and that the partner agencies will not require them to do additional things 2 years, 5 years, down the road, that you're asking them to do more, that there's a moving goalpost. I want to highlight an issue. In 1986, in the west, there were three western states that had the spotted owl issue, and the spotted owl was put on the endangered species list, and it devastated the timber industry in those three states. A few years ago, we started seeing the issue of the western sage grouse, and that western sage grouse was being looked at to be put on the endangered species list. That covered 11 western states. If that sage grouse goes on the endangered species list, it would devastate grazing as we know it in those western states. What NRCS did, USDA, NRCS, and the Fish and Wildlife Service, they got together, they worked with farmers, they asked farmers to implement on a voluntary basis some best management practices on their land that would help the sage grouse. What ended up happening is we're seeing the sage grouse rebound in those western states. It was a proactive approach. But what they did was they told those farmers that if you work with us and you develop these best management practices on your lands for the benefit of the sage grouse, if the sage grouse should go on the endangered species list, we will hold you harmless. We'll hold you harmless because you did everything that we asked you to do to try to enhance the populations of the sage grouse. What we're using is that model. That model, when it comes to water quality here in the state, is that let's work with our farmers on a proactive basis. They're already doing a lot of great things. As the Secretary mentioned, almost every farm has some sort of conservation practice. And let's enhance those that work. And we're seeing results in those areas. Let's work with farmers on a voluntary level. And if at some point, because of the courts or because of the legislature or some other mechanism, that we should move to a regulatory environment, let's hold them harmless for those approaches. For the public, assurance means that we can demonstrate to the public that we're doing everything, that farmers are doing everything that's being asked of them, and we can measure those results and be able to articulate to the general public the work that the farmers are doing. So what's the timeline moving forward? On March 5th, you have a handout in your packets. Commissioner Fredrickson announced the Technical Advisory Committee. It was not in the State Register. This is an error. It was actually in the Secretary of State's vacancy list, and we're looking for members at this point for applicants. They have until April 16th, which is the deadline for citizen applications, to the Technical Advisory Committee. In early May, we will announce the committee appointments. And in late NRC, the NRCS subcommittee, which if you look on the other handout, which is the structure of the Technical Advisory Committee, you will notice that there is an NRCS subcommittee that is going to provide feedback to the Minnesota, to the Technical Advisory Committee of MDA.
And commissioners, that's the one that has news release on the top, members?
Yep.
So, okay.
And then the other item is the structure. There's another handout that's the structure, which
this
is
one
that
here?
Document.
Yeah. Members.
And if you look on the bottom of that structure, there's the NRCS subcommittee. And as you know, NRCS is an important partner with the state on conservation delivery programs and on this program. And so we thought that it would be best to start with their work in terms of providing recommendations on how this program should be designed and how the funding mechanisms work and so forth. So they will provide initial recommendations to the department in late May. And then the department's advisory committee will come together after planting in June. And that will be made up of the folks that are listed on the press release. We're hoping to have the committee be able to provide input to an advisory in nature to the commissioner, and to be able to provide that input to the commissioner late this year, and then begin working with farmers as the winter meetings come up this next year, and as we begin to work next spring. So the formation of the advisory committee, it's a primary vehicle for input to MDA. We believe that it needs to be fair, that it needs to be open, and it needs to be transparent. And we'll talk a little bit more about that. Here's the advisory committee structure. So if you look on the side, there'll be an opportunity for public and stakeholder input. If there are certain groups, environmental groups or ag groups, or individuals, citizens that have ideas, we want to hear them. And they can provide that information to the commissioner, and we will give that to the technical advisory committee as they're working through many of these issues. The agencies will not actually sit on the advisory committee. The agencies will be invited to serve in a supporting capacity. The NRCS committee, as subcommittee, as we talked about before, will provide the initial recommendations. And other subcommittees can be developed by the advisory committee. For example, if a subcommittee is needed on livestock issues or cropping issues, those subcommittees can be developed to deal with those issues. And then the criteria synchronization process. I think many of you have heard from constituents that, well, I go to NRCS and I get one answer, and I go to a state agency and I get another answer, and I go to this agency and I get a different answer. The idea here is that this is going to be a difficult process, but to the extent that we can, synchronize what those BMPs and criteria are, so that we can harmonize where those agencies are, and be able to give farmers one answer when they come in to work on this program. The committee composition will be two farmers, two farm organization representatives, three commodity or livestock representatives, ag-related business, a farm service advisor, environmental organization representatives, we'll have two conservation organization representatives, and two local government unit representatives. The important thing here is that farmers need to lead this process. And they need, if we don't have farmer buy-in into this process and into this program, we might as well all go home on this issue. And so I think it's very important that farmers lead this effort, but they need to do it in a fair and open and transparent way and have other stakeholders at the table. So defining success. I think our first objective here is to accelerate the voluntary adoption of conservation practices on Minnesota farms. As the Secretary said, farmers are already doing a lot of great work. If we could do a couple more practices on each of those farms, imagine the results that we could see. Objective two, I think, is to increase the public recognition that farmers are doing all that's being asked of them when it comes to water quality. And so if farmers are certified that they're doing all that's being asked of them, and receiving that assurance or regulatory assurance, we can articulate that message to the public that these farmers are doing good work. Objective three is really to be proactive in addressing non-point source issues. So, Mr. Chairman, that is the extent of my presentation, and I guess I would open at this point if members have questions. We'd be happy to go through that.
Yes, thank you, Commissioner. We do have a few questions. Representative Anderson Bruce.
Thank you. For the number of farmers that you mentioned just here, you want farmers to take the lead, but you only have two farmers on this group. I think you should have representative farmer from at least the 9 congressional districts, or 8 congressional districts across the state, or even more. I mean, if you're going to just pick 2 people and then the rest, people who represent these other outfits, I'm concerned that you've got only 2 farmers, and you say farmers are going to take the lead. My concern is that...
Absolutely. Thanks for the question, Mr. Chairman, Representative Anderson. Most of these farm organization representatives, commodity livestock representatives, those folks will be farmers. And then there's just 2 general farmers and ranchers that don't have an affiliation to a general farm organization. So I would expect that you would have 5. There would at least be 7 actual farmers on the committee.
Mr. Chair,
follow up.
Mr. Chair, Commissioner, what happens if farmers don't want to be a part of this this program? Is there any is there anything that the agency is going to come back and go after these other farmers if they don't want to be part of it? I mean, you say it's voluntary, but I see some of this stuff, and it looks like in this resolution that you're looking for meeting water quality recommended practices, and you're looking for certification meets water quality goals. What happens if these farmers don't want to be a participant in that?
Commissioner.
Mr. Chair, Representative Anderson, this is purely a voluntary program, and that's how we intend to develop and work this through the Technical Advisory Committee. And if farmers don't want to participate, they don't need to. You look at other programs that are out there, the CRP program, there's wetland programs, there's various organic certification programs, there's all kinds of various different programs out there. Farmers don't need to be a part of those. All of those are voluntary programs. And so I would presume that and I think the commissioner would agree that this must be a program that is voluntary, and if farmers don't want to participate, they don't need to.
Representative Anderson.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. Is this committee being funded by the Department of Agriculture? I mean, you say volunteer. Are these individuals that are on this committee going to be paid?
Commissioner.
Mr. Chair, Representative Anderson, under Minnesota Statute 15.014, the commissioner has the authority to develop a technical advisory committee, and it lays out in that statute very specifically that members can be reimbursed and they can receive per diem. Under the announcement that we put out, we are not going to pay per diem. We will pay for mileage expenses that members may incur as a part of being involved in this.
Representative Anderson.
Thank you.
Representative Anderson Paul.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. Just a comment, first of all, and I guess I'm putting my farmer hat on when I say this. When I first heard the announcement of this program and then heard the word that EPA was at least going to be here in St. Paul, I think most farmers would say the red flags go up. And now you tell us that they'll have no role going forward, but I find it interesting that the EPA director flies out to St. Paul from Washington to tell us that they won't have any part in this program. Hmm. It sounds a little bit unique or funny, and maybe they're trying to send a message, but could you reassure us one more time on that?
Yep.
Commissioner.
Absolutely. Mr. Chairman, Representative, the EPA administrator flew out to Minnesota, spent her time and money to come out here to say that EPA believes that it is, first of all, supports a voluntary approach to dealing with water quality issues and agriculture, and 2, that she supports the concept of certainty, giving producers certainty, but 3, I think, and most importantly, that it is actually the state's role to develop water quality goals and standards. And so EPA was here and a part of this MOU to, I think, if here's the down in the very basic of this. If EPA was not a part of this MOU signing and the actual MOU, many farmers would have said, well, thank you very much on the certainty, but really EPA also needs to provide us some certainty. And so all of the regulatory agencies that are a part of this effort are here on the state and federal level to basically support the concept of a voluntary approach and providing certainty to Minnesota farmers.
Representative Anderson, follow up. Representative Szymanski.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. Mr. Commissioner, in the video, Ag Secretary Vilsack said this would be, there would be an income opportunity for producers. Do you have any concept of what that may entail in the vision of this process?
Commissioner.
Mr. Chair, Representative Szymanski, I think the income opportunity here may be down the road. But let's envision this. If you have a farmer that is certified under this program, and we put that sign on the end of the driveway that says this is a water-certified farm and it has a seal on that little sign, we could envision that at some point in time that the income opportunity, the value-added opportunity, could be that that seal ends up on the front of a cereal box like Wheaties, and that says this is from this wheat, or this cereal is produced from wheat grown on water-sustainable farms in Minnesota. I think that's the opportunity. That's something that's down the road. I think the primary objective here is to ensure that we accelerate adoption of voluntary best management practices and enhance water quality in Minnesota, but there may be some economic pieces down the road.
Representative Szymanski, follow up. Representative Eakin.
Thank you, Mr. Chair and Commissioner, and I do like the the approach that's being taken here, the model that's being followed, which is a more collaborative type effort here, and treating the farmers as partners here, and not only just treating as partners, but sounds like having farmers take the lead role. This is, as you say, a voluntary program, and it's something new, so it may be hard to state what you expect in terms of participation rates. But is there a goal as far as the administration would like to see for participation?
Commissioner.
Mr. Chair, Representative Eakin, we would hope that farmers would be active participants in this program, both in the development as well as implementation. The Technical Advisory Committee will be coming together later this year to develop the program details. And in that development, they will develop the value that it is that farmers will receive. And so I think at the end of the day, as a farmer myself, I would look at this program and say, what value does this provide to my operation? And if it provides some value, farmers will do it. If it doesn't provide the value that they need, they won't do it. And so at the end of the day, we need to make sure that this program provides that value to Minnesota farmers.
Representative Eakin, follow-up. Representative Torkelson.
Thank you, Mr. Chair, and welcome to the committee, Assistant Commissioner Wollman. First off, it's exciting that we're seeing the potential for cooperation between the various agencies within the state government and federal government. It's certainly a frustration of many of us in agriculture that we get mixed messages from various agencies when it comes to water quality, and that could be a very good thing if these agencies work together and work together with farmers on this voluntary basis that's being talked about. But where I get a little nervous is this whole idea of certainty. I'm not sure that I have a clear understanding of just what certainty means. you know, certainty from what, I guess, would be my first question.
Mm-hmm. Commissioner.
Mr. Chair, members, I think the important thing that we need to recognize is that this program does not give certainty to any farmer not to follow the law. And so the laws that are and rules that are currently on the books need to be followed. What certainty provides is the assurance to producers that the goalposts won't be moved on them in the future. That if we implement the best management practices on Minnesota farms and they are certified, that at the time of certification, whatever rules and regulations are in place, they operate under those rules and regulations for some period of time that they're certified. And so the goalposts won't be moved on them in the future.
Representative Torkelson.
Thank you, Mr. Chair, and Assistant Commissioner Wollman. So we're defining a period of time. What period of time do you have in mind?
Commissioner.
Mr. Chair, Representative Torkelson, we are, at this point, we're reserving that judgment for the Technical Advisory Committee to help us think through. But we have internally with the agencies have discussed a period of 10 years.
Representative Torkelson.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. And what happens when the period is over?
Commissioner.
Mr. Chair, similar to a CRP contract, for example, whatever the rules are at that time when they sign up, the farmer would operate under those rules for a period of 10 years. If there are new BMPs that come out as a result of new research over time, they will be a part of the suite of BMPs that farmers could choose from for their particular operation. And then they will go through a renewal process at the end of the 10-year period. That's the vision at this point, but the Technical Advisory Committee is really being asked to help us develop the program and how that would work.
Mr. Torkelson.
Thank you, Mr. Chair, for your indulgence. So what about standards? Standards change over time. Will farmers who are cooperating in this program be exempt from changes in standards?
Commissioner.
Mr. Chair, Representative Torkelson, can you rephrase the question? I'm not sure I understand exactly what your question is.
Representative Torkelson.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. Well, for instance, water quality standards are something that and the TMDL process, yes, is something that we're dealing with here in the state of Minnesota. As we move into the implementation phase in TMDLs, and we don't really know what that's going to look like either, but do you see a relationship between the TMDL process and the establishment of implementation plans and this program? Is there coordination there? Is there some certainty? I'm still trying to get a handle on what certainty really means.
Sure.
Commissioner.
Mr. Chair, Representative Torkelson, members, How we're thinking about certainty in relation and this program in relation to the TMDL process is that if a farmer in a particular watershed is certified, they're doing everything that's being asked of them by the state. And so if there would be a TMDL that would come down in that particular watershed, that farmer wouldn't have to do anything, because they're already doing everything that the state is asking of them. And so, Representative Torkelson, to answer your question, there would be coordination between the TMDL process, but the farmer would not be forced to do anything different because they're certified.
Representative Torkelson.
Well, thank you, Mr. Chair. I'm going to let that lay for now. But I understand that the agencies that are parties to this agreement have an option to opt out of this with a 60-day notice. Is that part of this agreement?
Commissioner.
Mr. Chair, yes. There is in any agreement, there's always an opportunity to opt out. But there's also the opportunity to opt out for the Department of Agriculture. It says that, you know, if farmers can't get the kind of deal that they're looking for on this program, we can opt out of it. And so I think it actually holds all of the agencies accountable to develop a program that works.
Representative, thank you, Mr. Chair. Well, with the 60-day opt-out, it's hard to understand how this long-term certainty really fits in. What about, have you thought about whether you're going to do this on a statewide rollout basis or you're considering pilot projects?
Commissioner?
Mr. Chair, Representative Torkelson, the idea is that this would be a statewide program eventually. But the Technical Advisory Committee will help us work through the details. And I suspect that they will also look at whether it would make sense to pilot this in certain watersheds. Personally, I think it does. I think it makes sense to pilot this and work out the details before we go statewide. And I think we can show some early progress on how this program would work and so forth. So, yes, I do believe that it will likely go down a piloted approach.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. And to the testifier, if I would dig around in my basement long enough, I would locate a river-friendly farmer sign that was given to me when I signed up for the river-friendly farmer program some years ago. That has very little value, frankly, to me or anyone else. How can we be assured that this program, you mentioned signs in your remarks, how can we be assured that this program will actually have some value not only to our state, but to the farmers who participate?
Mm-hmm.
Mr. Chair, members, we are looking to the Technical Advisory Committee to help us develop the program and ensure that this program provides value to farmers. And so at this point, we need to make sure that those members are willing to kind of help us develop this, first of all, and then bring those good ideas to the table. But if there are others that have good ideas, they should assemble those as well. And so as the Technical Advisory Committee comes together and works through these details, that they can work develop the best recommendation possible.
So, Representative Torkelson.
Thank you, Mr.
And
Chair.
I'll just say we do have plenty of time, so feel free to ask questions. Well, and that's what the department is asking for as well.
I hate to dominate the conversation, but I would like to ask one more question. And before I ask that, I'd just like to say that I think there's some potential here for this to be a very positive thing for the state of Minnesota and for water quality across the state, but I also certainly see the potential for it to be a problem if it's not developed properly and if we would somehow stray away from this idea and theme that this is a voluntary program and a program of coordination and not one of threat to farmers, that there's an axe hanging over their head that when their time runs out that the hammer's going to fall, so to speak. But just the other thing that I have really some trepidation with is some farmers are going to participate and others are not. And are we going to divide our farmers into the participators and the non-participators and use this as a tool to really go after farmers who don't participate in this voluntary program?
Commissioner.
I see this, Mr. Chair, Representative Torkelson, I guess I see this as a purely voluntary program. I do not think it would be appropriate to for farmers that do not participate to somehow have the hammer fall on them or that they have additional requirements. In my mind, that sounds regulatory. And so if we're going to go down that route, this isn't a good program. This needs to be an opportunity for farmers to, on a positive, proactive kind of way, come to the table, do some enhancements on their farms, and be recognized for doing good work. Be recognized for implementing the conservation practices that they already have, and the new practices that they're going to implement.
So, Commissioner, on that line of questioning, in the event other departments or agencies push to make this a mandatory program, will then the Department of Agriculture pull back and no longer participate in this program?
Mr. Chair, members, you have the commitment of Commissioner Fredrickson and myself that if this becomes a regulatory vehicle, we will not support it.
Thank you, Commissioner. Like we were talking about, Representative Szymanski, just one more thought. You know, we were talking, you heard a lot of questions or concerns about this continue to be a voluntary program. And Representative Torkelson brought up about the farmers who choose not to participate. Will they be treated any differently? I guess if you would just follow up on that.
Mr. Chair, members, I don't think they should be under this program. It's just another tool in the toolbox for farmers to be recognized and and as a recognition be provided certainty that they're doing everything that's being asked of them and they're not going to be asked to do anything more.
And then, Commissioner, the farmers that do participate in the program, would they then be deemed in compliance with current and future state water quality standards? I believe Representative Torkelson asked that question, but if you could just follow up on that once again as well.
Mr. Chair, members, as under the MOU, it says that certified farmers would be recognized as meeting all water quality goals and standards.
Thank you, Commissioner. Representative Szymanski.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. If I ask for a point of personal privilege first.
Well, that'll be the first one, I think. All granted.
Right. Visiting us today in the audience are members of the Hutchinson Area Chamber of Commerce Leadership Institute. And I met with them earlier this morning, and they needed a place to visit, and I said, come over to the Ag Committee. It's always interesting here. But in talking to the group this morning, about a half a dozen of them indicated that they have farm background. So I'm sure they're getting some good information from our hearing today. So welcome, Torque.
Very nice. Welcome, guys. Thank you, Representative Szymanski. All right.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. Commissioner Wollman, We talk about certainty with this program. I know this is it's just getting off the ground, but a couple of questions regarding the certainty is, you know, one is farmers are individualists. You know, they will cooperate, but they still want to do things their way on their farm. And the other is that water flows downhill. So what do you envision happening when the farmer on the lower end of the watershed wants to participate in the water Ag Water Quality Certification Program, but his neighbors upstream are, you know, kind of maintaining traditional practices. Is this farmer that wants to enroll in the program going to have some undue problems that will cost him more or provide less benefit for him than from some other producer that's at the top of the watershed?
Commissioner.
Mr. Chair, Representative Szymanski. Here, let me give you just an overview of how I envision this happening, and this is just my personal vision. It's certainly not the way the program is going to necessarily move forward because we're reserving that judgment for the Technical Advisory Committee. But I would see we have best management practices for everything from pesticide applications to fertilizer applications to manure applications. We have best management practices in terms of buffer strips and so forth. There are a lot of best management practices that are out there and available for farmers to implement. Representative Szymanski, you're exactly right that farmers are individualists and they want to kind of operate their operation the way that they want to operate it, and they should be allowed to do that under this program. I believe that this program should be flexible enough to allow producers to develop a conservation plan that works for their particular farm. And so out of this suite of best management practices that we have out there, farmers can pick and choose the best management BMPs that they would like to implement on their particular farm. And they would work with some sort of a third-party certifier to develop that conservation plan. It would be their conservation plan that they would be developing for their operation, and develop that so that it meets the criteria of the program. And if it meets the criteria of the program and they implement the practices, they're certified.
Representative Schmansky? Representative McElpatrick.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. Commissioner, when we talk about the certainty that would come with participation in the program, and you mentioned something, perhaps a period of 10 years, and then that this is a completely voluntary program, I have a concern, I guess, that if a farmer decides to participate in the program, and if we are looking at a potential of 10 years certainty, and somewhere partway through that 10 years, he decides that the program is actually burdensome or not beneficial or whatever, and he would like to withdraw, I assume that he has the option to withdraw during that period of time since it is voluntary. But with the certainty of new regulations, whatever, not being put into place, I can see a situation where if he wants to withdraw, it might actually become punitive for him to do so before the end of that 10 years. Could you speak to that, please?
Commissioner.
Mr. Chair, members, to be real honest, you raise a very good question and a very good point. I haven't thought through that whole process in great detail. But I do know that in other programs, and I keep going back to the CRP program on the NRCS level, for example, there are consequences for pulling out of a contract. And so I would assume that the Technical Advisory Committee, as we develop this program, would have to think through, what consequences would there be if a farmer decides to withdraw from the program.
Representative McElpatrick, follow up. Representative Anderson, call.
Thanks again, Mr. Chairman. Interesting discussion today. And looking at your PowerPoint, we see a soybean field, contour strips, and some clean water. So we think about cropland, but I was thinking about livestock. Would this committee, do you see this committee going down that road as well? For example, a best management practice of somebody with a hog barn or a turkey barn, fully enclosed, not having any discharge. Would that be a way to satisfy the state if they were in this program as far as not having an NPDES permit, for example? Do you see this going in that direction?
Commissioner.
Mr. Chair, members, at this point, the agencies that have been involved have thought through a little bit of kind of what that intersection would look like. At this point, and we're going to reserve judgment for this technical advisory committee to help us develop these recommendations. But we were thinking that the items that are regulated already would not be a part of this program. So for example, feedlots that fall under the regulatory purview could be considered certified, or there could be best management practices, and that could be a part of the certification. But regulated pieces of that puzzle would not be a part of, because the permit essentially is, a validation from the state that you're doing what you're asked to do. So that I think there may be opportunities, though, Mr. Chair and Representative, that the Technical Advisory Committee could work out ways to streamline or simplify areas, other items here. But that is yet to be determined, and we'll have to sort through those things. But at this point, we're thinking that regulated pieces would not be a part of the certification program.
Representative Anderson.
Thanks again, Mr. Chair. Just a different kind of question. Up in my area, we have some river sheds doing good work in the areas of conservation, buffer strips, things like that, covered tile inlets. Do you envision this type of program working with programs already in place out in the country?
Commissioner.
Mr. Chair, members, I don't think we should reinvent the wheel where there are good things happening. So if there's ways that we can streamline and make the process more efficient, absolutely. In terms of the third-party certifiers, we have certifiers that, you know, through the NRCS process, there are technical service professionals that do development of conservation plans. But I think the program needs to be flexible enough because farmers work with a few people that they trust. And for example, a certified crop consultant might be someone that a particular farmer would turn to and say, help me think through this. And so if that certified crop consultant could be certified as a certifier, they could work with, I think there are other partners that can come into play to be a part of the process as we move forward.
Representative Torkelson.
Thank you again, Mr. Chair, and to the testifier. Much farmland in the state of Minnesota is not owned by the operator. We have landlords that own much of the farmland, and it's rented from them. And they also can be a participant in conservation efforts, or sometimes they are resistant to that participation. And I can envision, you know, if I wanted to be certified in your program, but one of my landlords says, wait a minute, I'm not interested in whatever that particular BMP or set of BMPs might be. Have you given any thought to just how this landlord and operator relationship might affect your program?
Commissioner.
Mr. Chair, Representative Torkelson, absolutely. I think when we look at the best management practices, there are best management practices that actually go in the ground. So like, for example, buffer strips are an actual physical BMP. But there's also management management practices. So an example of that might be manure applications or pesticide applications or something like that. So I think the Technical Advisory Committee will have a lot of work in this area to figure out how we handle this. But my sense is that if you're operating rented land and the landlord does not want to participate in any program for whatever reason, that the operator could be certified based on their management practices rather than the physical practices of that particular landscape. But the Technical Advisory Committee may have some better ideas on how to deal with this. Perhaps you do as well. And we'd be open to working through those concepts.
Representative Torkelson, follow up.
Members, talking with Representative Yeakin and visiting with the commissioner beforehand, we said we wanted to be very flexible, and we've heard the testimony now as well. I have no more questions from members at this point. Representative Yeakin and I were discussing if there's anybody that would like to come up, and if you have any additional questions or comments, concerns, or support the program. If there's anybody at this time that would like to come forward, we'd like to encourage that and welcome that as well. I know, like I said, the department has been very willing to address the questions and concerns, so we just want to float that out there. Representative Vogel.
Oh, thank you, Mr. Chair. Can you give me an idea of what kind of price tag are we talking about for this program?
Commissioner. Excuse me, Commissioner.
Mr. Chair, members, at this point, we don't know all of the pieces of the puzzle and what will be needed to implement the program, and so I do not have a good idea on the price tag at this point. We will be pulling together the technical advisory committee that will help us structure this, and once we get their recommendations, we will have a better sense of what the costs will be.
Representative Vogel. Thank you, Mr. Chair. So once these the standards are put in place, and you've mentioned several times like the CRP program, and then these farmers that volunteer into this program, they're going to be receiving compensation for entering into this program then, or are they not going to receive any?
Commissioner.
Mr. Chair, members, Representative Vogel, at this point, we have not envisioned that there would be a payment of any sort for participation. What there would be is there would be a cost share for implementing those practices. So the primary value here would be the certainty concept, and there may be other items of value that the technical advisory committee comes up with that can provide that value for farmers. I think in a time of when we look at where we're at in terms of our economy and where we're at in terms of the economic condition in the country, farmers are looking for some stability, some certainty that they can make the investment and they can do so knowing that they won't face in 2 or 3 or 5 years having to lay out an extra sum of money. And so that's the primary value.
Representative Vogel? Okay, Representative Szymanski.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman, and just kind of following up on Representative Vogel's question, with the Memorandum of Understanding with the USDA and the EPA, is the federal government offering any seed money to get this program off the ground, or are we doing this strictly within the agency?
Commissioner.
Mr. Chair, Representative Szymanski, yes, NRCS did say that there would be monies available for this project. At this point, the initial seed money, if you will, was told to Commissioner Fredrickson and myself to be $10 million, which isn't a lot of money in the grand scheme of things, but it's seed money to help begin. And if you look at, you know, if we pilot this concept in one or two watersheds and put some money on a targeted basis in those watersheds, we could have a lot of results with that. So the federal government is very interested, and the money is there, and that's one of the primary reasons that we reached out to NRCS, is because there is a significant amount of money when it comes to conservation delivery programs, and we want to maximize those resources to the extent that we can.
Representative Szymanski.
Okay. Thank you, Commissioner Wollman. That seed money is already allocated, or I'm thinking that you know Congress is working on the next farm bill, and is that possible, a cut in the farm bill, or are we pretty well assured that money could be coming from NRCS?
Mr. Chair, members, the latest conversation that we had with Chief Dave White of the NRCS is that he has money available, and he has that money allocated and available to him for this program.
Representative Szymanski.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman.
Thank you. With that, Commissioner, we have no other questions or nobody. Representative Anderson.
Thanks. One more floor on, Mr. Chair. Thank you. Again, following up on Representative Vogel's question, it seems to me that unless there are some kind of financial incentives or carrots for farmers to do these types of practices, I mean, land is $6,000-$10,000 an acre, and there has to be some incentive to put in buffer strips, for example. But that was just a comment, and I'm also getting a bit of a feeling that when you talk about a benefit of this program 4, 5, 6 years down the road, they will be in compliance. That's kind of saying to me that in 4, 5, 6 years, those who don't go in the program will be mandated to go into some of these practices. Is there a line of thought along that avenue that these are going to be voluntary for a while, a few years, and then they're going to become mandatory for all farmers?
Commissioner.
Mr. Chair, members, we can only control what we can control. And in the executive branch, you know, there are constantly conversations of, and we hear them out in farm community all the time about, you know, this regulation that someone's talking about or that regulation or what have you. We don't know what's going to happen in the future. We don't know what's going to happen 5 years from now or 10 years from now. And so this program basically says to Minnesota farmers that if you are a part of this program and you're certified, you don't need to worry about what's going to happen down the road for that period of the certification, because you are doing everything that's being asked of you. And so, no, I don't believe that farmers should be treated differently if they are participating in this program or not. It's a voluntary approach. There needs to be value that this program provides to producers. And if it doesn't provide the level of value that a particular producer needs, they shouldn't need to participate. And so we're hoping that we can provide enough value through this program that all Minnesota farmers would want to participate. That's the goal.
And Commissioner, I believe you said earlier, if there's a movement to make this mandatory, that yourself and Commissioner Fredrickson would no longer support the program.
Mr. Chairman, absolutely. Commissioner Fredrickson and I have a commitment to developing a program that's voluntary in nature. We are not here to develop a regulatory program. But again, as I mentioned, we can only control what we can control. And, you know, the courts, there may be a lawsuit, and the courts may do something, or this body may do something. And so we can only control what we can control. But you have our commitment that we are not interested in a regulatory approach.
Representative Anderson, follow up.
Well, just to add, Mr. Chairman, that we may not be here in 5 or 6 years. The commissioner may not be here in 5 or 6 years. We might all be gone in 5 or 6 years. So that remains to be seen, I guess.
So,
Mr. Chair, one more comment, maybe. Going off of what Representative Paul Anderson had said earlier, about my concern here would be that, you know, with the federal government being involved, and I know you assured us in a way that the EPA will not step in, they want to have a back seat to all of this, but as the federal government gets its tentacles in there, and if they tie up some of the funding and this and that, and if the EPA decides to come in with some new regulations on water and water quality, my concern is that we might be headed down a path that, you know, will we be able to pull out and say no, we're out of this program, you know.
Commissioner?
Mr. Chair, members, it was in the if you have a copy of the MOU in front of you, and the third bullet to the bottom on the first page says that we affirm that it is the state's role to develop water quality standards. And that line, that language was put in there explicitly to address the issue of EPA and what their role is in this program. And so EPA, the EPA administrator in that memorandum explicitly says that this is the state's program and the state's role is to develop those water quality standards. Also, if you look at the Clean Water Act, specifically does not mention agriculture and in terms of regulation. And by its nature, basically says that it's the state's responsibility to develop those standards. That's the best I can do in terms of providing you certainty. But EPA, their role is really to support this program moving forward. But it is our responsibility, and it is a state program.
Thank you. Thank you, Mr. Chair. Thank you, Mr. Moore.
Commissioner, any closing remarks?
Well, thank you very much for the opportunity to come here today. And we are very excited about this program. I think it's an opportunity I mentioned in several comments that I've made that we need to kind of put down the swords and the bad rhetoric around this issue and come and sit around the table and figure out a solution to these problems. And the administration, as Governor Dayton said, doesn't want to be forced to pick between clean water and a strong agricultural economy. This is an opportunity to come together. We have folks on all levels, the state as well as the federal government, saying that they're willing to participate in a voluntary approach. This is an opportunity for farmers and for citizens here in Minnesota to develop a program that works for Minnesota. And so we are very excited about this, and we hope that you will be active participants as we develop this program, and I will continue to keep you informed as new developments come up. So thanks for the opportunity to be here today, and anytime you have a question, feel free to call over, and we'd be happy to work through those questions that you may have, or perhaps you have good ideas on how we can move forward, and we want to hear those too. So thanks for the opportunity.
And Commissioner, I'd like to thank you as well for taking the time and coming down here and answering our questions, addressing any concerns there may be, and also being accessible if we have any additional questions in the future. So with that, members, we are adjourned. Thank you.